Okay, today is April 13th, and this is an interview with Miss Christine Rosebar Bowser, and this is conducted under the auspices of Dr. Karen Flint's oral history class of the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, and this is being held in Ms. Bowser's residence. My name is Nick Gallardo, and I will be moderating this interview. Good afternoon, Ms. Bowser. How are you?
Great. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good.
I guess we just want to start off with some open-ended questions.
Okay.
What are your fondest memories of the old neighborhood of Brooklyn?
The fondest memories, I believe, that it was a very close neighborhood. We had people, homeowners and those that were not homeowners, living side by side, and they were all kind and friendly to each other. You really didn't see much of a class system. Everybody was kind of accepted. So I really enjoyed that part of it.
Okay, so it was like a real sense of community.
It was a real sense of community.
And what are your connections with the neighborhood of Brooklyn?
My connections were, one, I went to high school there, which was enjoyable. I went to church there. The library was there. So if we needed to do any after-school studying, we went to the library. The recreation part, we had the YWCA, and we also had the YMCA, and one other group, I can't even call the name of it right now, but so we would, recreation, religion, and school, and so forth.
I guess starting with your experiences at Second Ward. What was that like going to school there?
Second Ward was really wonderful, and the reason I said it was wonderful in most aspects, I moved to Charlotte in the sixth grade, and we had left a very rural place where we didn't see anybody. We were 2 miles from everybody, and we had to collect our wood and make our fires for the school, and the teachers were kind of absent. The teacher was absent because she was an alcoholic, so we didn't have much of school.
Oh.
So when we came to Charlotte, it was so different. We didn't have to make fire, and we had separate classes for all of the students, first, second, and third, so forth. And when I went to Second Ward, we saw all of it. There were all of these students, whereas I had been accustomed to in the South just having maybe 25 students, and there were first through whatever classes we had, 7. So going to Second Ward, where we had all of these students and all of these different classes and activities going on, as well as band, and the relationship with other students was just great. So we enjoyed that.
You were talking about the band, and you were a member of the band,
correct? I was a member of the band, yes, and I was one of the first in my family to play in the band, and my chosen instrument was a flute. Thereafter me, my sister played flute, my niece played flute, and also my daughter played flute. So I say I kind of just opened it up for it. I held the flute. I
wasn't the precedent, huh?
I wasn't a great flutist, but I enjoyed being in the band, and I was a letter girl. And we had a chance to travel with the band when we went places for the football teams to play, a team to play. We traveled, and we participated in the Christmas parade at the Queen City Classic, so it was really exciting.
The Christmas parade, was that for the city?
Yeah, that was city? For the Shed City. We had it wasn't at Christmas, it was right before Christmas. What was that? Blank on that, but it was a Christmas parade. It was considered as a Christmas parade.
Okay.
With other bands.
And the Queen City Classic, that was a big event.
It was a very big event. We played mostly West Charlotte. So we had a chance to go on the field and perform. That time we had an exciting band teacher. His name was Paige, L. Augustus Paige, and we thought we were real good. We didn't have band uniforms, but we wore maybe a white shirt and some dog pants or something to perform. So the band was really a good organization to belong to.
Were you involved in any other extracurricular activities at Second Ward?
Yes, we had the Whiting Club there I was part of. The library, we had people that worked in the library, the assistants in the library, I did that. And I also worked in the office, assistant whatever was necessary to be done.
And the Y team, that was affiliated with the...
That was affiliated with the Phyllis Wheatley YWCA. At that time, it was Phyllis Wheatley YWCA, and we had great activities. After school, we would have clubs. One of my favorite things was that we had a teacher by the name of Mrs. Byers, and she taught us sewing. She taught us party manners, good manners, how to set the table and how to eat properly. And then we had teen night where we would go and do various activities such as dancing. So you got a chance to dance with all of the boys from different parts of town. You see, everybody came from all parts of town to the Y because it was located in Brooklyn. So then we went on hay rides. It was pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Christmas. I guess I have, I know that there's a lot of activities that went on in the neighborhood of Brooklyn. Daddy Grace's parade was a big event, from what I understand.
His parade was very big, and there were bands from various house of prayers from different parts of Carolinas that would come and perform. And I guess we thought they had one of the best bands because they had good letter girls, and the band did all kinds of stunts and activities, so we would follow them and march with them. So they did have a good band, which drew a lot of people to their events.
Mm-hmm. Were there any kind of other kind of holidays that were celebrated in Brooklyn that were like how was Halloween or Easter? Or
The only thing about Easter, we did have Halloween, so we just dressed and knocked on different people's doors and got trick or treat with that. That was kind of low key, but we did do that. Easter was exciting because that was the time we got a chance to dress up. Everybody would dress up, buy something for Easter, and go to church. So it was a big event as far as dressing up and putting on your hats and putting on shoes that were too small for you, but you wore them anyway. You wore them anyway, but it was exciting. So that was a big event, Easter.
And Easter, I say you went to your church, and you went to the...
I went to St. Paul Baptist Church. When I first started attending it, it was on 1st and Crockett Street, 1st Street and Crockett, and then they relocated to McDowell, which now is occupied by Adams Mark. So we built a very nice church there, moving from the 1st Street Crockett area to, which was less than a half block away, to McDowell. And with redevelopment, I think they went to North Charlotte.
And what was the church like in the?
The church, I really enjoyed the Sunday school, and we had something called BTU, where we did religious training, and we went to different churches for this BTU, because all of the churches had BTU, so we would have kind of a convention where we would get together. I enjoyed the choir, although I couldn't sing. I was in the choir. That was one of the things that I liked to do, and we also had Girl Scouts. We participated in that. And the church part was very good. It was a little different. It was, they could sing very well, and they were kind of loud and did a lot of shouting. So, yeah, I wasn't into the church as much as I was into the activities, the Sunday school and so forth.
And how'd you guys interact with the other churches in the area?
Oh, well, we had, when they had what they call... when they would have different ministers to come in to the church revivals, what I was trying to get, we participated in that. Our choir would go and sing for their revival, and we would attend their church to listen to the various ministers that they had, and they would also do the same thing for us. So we knew quite a few people in Charlotte. But I would say the churches were, you know, people all over. In fact, Brooklyn was the center of activities for the black communities in Charlotte. So all of the other communities would come into the churches and into Brooklyn, as I say, for the library, for the YWCA, the YMCA, and the clubs we had and the pharmacy, all of that. So we kind of drew people into the center, as well as the churches. I'm not getting off.
Can you remember any memorable figures in the community of Brooklyn by chance? Any people that stick out in your mind that were...
I would say Miss Allegra Westbrook.
Miss Westbrook.
Which was the librarian. Mrs. Belton, that was in charge of the YWCA. Miss Kraft was a Y team director. My principal, Mr. Grisby, and many of the teachers that were there. My minister, Reverend Warks, I think. And we had the Alexanders, which were political leaders, you know. So.
I guess, talking about, you mentioned a Miss Allegra Westbrook, talking about, what was the Brevard Street Library? Was that a focal point for the community?
That was a focal point for the entire community of the black neighborhoods, because that was the only library we had for black people. So people would come from all different areas of Charlotte to attend that library if they wanted to do some additional reading or be involved in the activities that they had there at the library. So it was a great place to be. And they had leadership development classes. Miss Westbrook was before her time. She was very innovative. So.
And I guess, what was it like when it eventually, when it eventually had to close down? Was it hard to transfer from there to the, because then the main library was made available, correct?
Yes, it was hard to transfer from there. Although when we did attend the main library, it was exciting because we had so much more. Whereas in the library down in Broad Street, we more or less had pass me down books. But when we went to the main library, we had new books and new areas, and it was great. So the change was great. We hated leaving, but after getting involved, it was okay.
And you mentioned Mr. Alexander, who owned the Alexander Funeral.
Right.
This is actually more of a personal question, but I'd interviewed Dr. Lynn Long.
Okay.
And he was talking about ambulance services.
Right.
That he had. And Alexander Funeral Homes had the same?
Right.
They ran the same service?
They were.
What, I guess, I'm trying to figure out the, I'm wondering the reason, the reasoning behind that. Or not the reasoning, but, how did that work? Like, what was that? Or do you know a lot about?
I knew, well, didn't anyone want to die, you know? We didn't want to go to the... but we had Greer's, which was right in front of Second Ward. It was a very nice funeral home. And then we had the Alexanders. I guess, I think Mr. Greer was probably one of the first people to try to run for city council or something like that. Alexander was more of a political person with the NAACP and trying to make changes for black people, so he kind of stood out a little more than the others did.
Are there any particular sections in Brooklyn that stood out for you, like buildings, places where you hung out?
The places really we hung out was the YWCA, the library. And we occasionally slipped to some little nightclubs that had jazz, and they had jazz, and they had a little restaurant, and we had a...
All right, hold on, 1, 2, 3. Sorry about the pause there. So you were talking about the nightclubs.
The nightclub, it was called the Birdland. You could get something to eat there. You could dance. And also, they had great jazz. The best players from the high school bands, West Charlotte and Second Ward, and Plato Price, other places, and even the House of Prayer, were part of the jazz band. So you got a chance to dance with the different people and meet people from all over the city of Charlotte. So that was exciting. The Bethlehem Center was a good place. It was located in Brooklyn too. It was also located in Brooklyn, and they had various classes on dancing that we could learn to do modern dancing, square dancing, and all kinds of dancing. And we learned how to cook. They had cooking classes. They had just a time for us to play checkers and do other recreational activities. We also played volleyball and net games and things like that. So that was exciting. And one of my other favorite places was a little ice cream parlor on McDowell Street. And this couple ran it, the Torrances ran it. And it was exciting for us to go there, mostly on Sundays and after school. They had all kinds of ice cream. I mean, they were ahead of their time, too. So that's where I could get my big scoops of strawberry ice cream. And after church, people would go there and get ice cream, and after games and so forth. So that was a good place to hang out. Although we would just go in and get the ice cream. It wasn't a sit-down place. You just get the ice cream and leave. So those were some of the nice places we liked to do, things we liked to do.
And were these the place you're talking about, were they like a particular section of Brooklyn?
They're
located in a specific area?
The location was kind of center city. I talked about the YWCA and the YMCA. They were all located on 2nd Street. The Bethlehem Center was there too. And all of the, most of the doctor's office and the law building, the law office, and what else? There were some restaurants too. It was kind of the center of attraction for the blacks.
I guess I just asked a question because were there other parts of Brooklyn that were, was there like a particular section that was business and residential or was
the part that I just spoke of, the 2nd Street, Brevoort Street, that little cross section, that's where most of the business were. The funeral homes, all of those was kind of in a little cluster, not too far apart.
I guess, what was the rest of Brooklyn like? The areas of like the residential, the rental units, what was that? Did you go too much into those areas?
I kind of moved around because I had friends and, you know, walking on Sunday. That was our recreation on Sundays to kind of visit and talk in the street and walk down to the park or something like that. We had a Pearl Street Park. And we would go there, and we would also go uptown and do some window shopping. But in the neighborhood, as far as the homes, the rental homes were more or less little single-shot homes. I don't know what description of it, but there were like a mix of rental, residential, business and homeowners. But there wasn't a difference. Everybody was treated practically as equal. I'm sure that there were people that were on the welfare, but you never knew it. Everybody kept their yards pretty clean, and they had flowers in the yard, and a lot of pride in the neighborhood. Although the houses were, I'll have to admit, pretty shabby, some of them, and especially, I don't know why the rental people liked to build houses over the creek. There were some creeks there, tributaries, and Sugar Creek. Well, Sugar Creek, I live right on Sugar Creek, and there was one other creek, I'll think of the name soon. But they'd like to build houses right on the edge of the creeks and the tributaries. So we often, where I live, I always said that we were affluent because we had waterfront properties. And when it would rain, the water would overflow from Sugar Creek up to our backyard and back door, and we would have to go out of the front door.
That's right, and you were in First Ward.
I was in First Ward, but happened more so in Brooklyn.
More so.
And it did in First Ward. There were many places that were, but the neighbor, the people were very friendly. There were a lot of families that had the fathers and the mothers in the homes, and there were a lot of single parents with the absentee father, and the extended families where the grandparents would take care of the kids. But it was just a little different from what it was now. Everybody kind of looked out after each other. If you got in trouble, they were able to correct you. Your neighbors were able to correct you. Of course, when you got home, you got another scolding. So it was a different place from now. You can't correct anyone. If they do anything, you better call the police or let them alone.
Okay. Oh, well, let's talk about the police. So the community, are you saying it was more self-police? How were the police viewed in the neighborhood?
How were the police viewed? We had, mostly there were white policemen. We had a few black Ross, maybe two or three when I was a youngster. And the black policemen more or less just checked on the blacks. They were not able to do any arresting of the whites. And the white policemen had the range of everybody. In general, I had a couple of bad experiences, like when we were walking home or something, they might drive up and flash that light on you, and you had on a dress, so it just went right through you.
We're talking about the white policemen?
Yeah, your white policemen. And then some of the blacks, they could be kind of cruel, too, but, you know, it wasn't any perfect.
Well, was it because I heard in some of the other interviews they talk about how Brooklyn was an open and safe community, but other times they talk about how maybe there could have been a lot of crime in particular sections.
I would think so, or in the, you know, I mean, there was some meanness going on. There were good people, there were good teenagers. And then we had some neighborhoods where the boys especially, you know, you just didn't go into that territory, or you couldn't come over into that territory. And there were some spots where they fought a lot and people would get hurt and sometimes killed. You know, they said matters neither created nor destroyed.
Right.
So it happened.
I guess we want to talk about the YWCA, because you have a lot of experience with that. You were the program director there for the adults from 1960 to 64.
Right. Yes.
What was that like?
That was exciting. We provided classes. We checked with the community, to see which classes they wanted to have offered, and we offered those classes, and one of their favorite was bridge. We had sewing, we had homemade cooking and different types of classes like that. So I had to more or less get the instructors for it. We had driver's education for adults, and there were many other classes that we had. So I got to know the adults from all over Charlotte, people coming from all areas, Biddleville, University Park, it was developed in First Ward, all over Charlotte. They came, it was kind of like a melting pot for the women to come. And on Saturday nights, Miss Elizabeth Mills, which was a teenage director, youth director, she would have dances. And sometimes the adults would also have dances or fun nights where they came and participated.
And I guess, I'm not too familiar with the MCA organizations. What was your relationship like with the YMCA?
The YMCA, the YMCA and the YWCA kind of worked a little different. We had Macquarie's, but they were not connected to the white YMCA like they are now. They were kind of separate. But the YWCA, they kind of looked after each other. Although we had separate buildings at first, we had the Phyllis Wheatley YWCA, which was on Brevoort Street. And then they built a new building down on Davidson Street, which for the white FSA, which was for blacks. And after about in the early 60s, during the time I was there, we kind of integrated where you could take classes over at the main building, which was on Trade Street, and I think they still have a facility there. And we raised money during the time that I was there. It was a big fundraiser to establish the white WCA now that is on Park Road.
Okay.
So we were connected. We had our staff meetings together, and some of the staff taught classes at the black branch if they had the skills. And those that had the skills would go over to the branch of, well, the main library, the main white on the Trade Street and teach classes and so on. Because they had the swimming pool. We didn't have a swimming pool. So everybody that wished to take swimming would have to go over there.
And the YWCA had a particular name attached to it, correct? The Phyllis Wheatley. Phyllis Wheatley.
Was for blacks, yes.
And was that name kept after the YWCA was moved out of the...
Out of Brooklyn? No. We dropped it. And I know we dropped that and dropped just for the YWCA. So when it closed, that was the end of Phyllis Wheatley and Charlotte.
I guess what are your thoughts on that by chance?
Well, we wanted progress. We wanted integration, and I guess you can't have your cake and eat it too. So it was an improvement to be able to participate with the community rather than a segment of the community. So it was a good move.
And I guess I just have some questions about the process of relocation. I know you didn't actually live in the neighborhood of Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
You lived in First Ward.
First Ward.
But where did a lot of people move to first when they left? You know of?
I believe that a lot of them just went to different neighborhoods wherever spaces were available. Like the First Ward, Billingsville, Fairview Homes, Southside, wherever facilities were available. And then at that time, this neighborhood, University Park, was one of the first neighborhoods that was developed by Spangler for blacks. So a lot of the people left Brooklyn and bought homes here in University Park. In other parts, I think a lot of them too went to, can't think of the neighborhood right now, but many of them moved. They got money from the city, but perhaps not enough. I was asking one of my friends that worked for the redevelopment, and she said they were just responsible for getting people moved out of Brooklyn into other areas, but she didn't know about the monies.
Yeah, what does that mean, responsible for moving?
That's what I kind of asked her just recently. Her name is Bernie Morrison. She worked with Randall, which was I think he was the director for having people relocate.
Randall,
what was his name? I know his last name was Randall.
Oh, his last name was Randall, okay.
Reverend Randall. And she worked as his secretary. And Sawyer was, I believe, he was a white guy. He was in charge of the toll. I don't know if he's still living, but he probably could give you all the information, though, if you can find someone that worked with him. Mm-hmm. Sawyer was his name. And some people kind of held out for moving. I think one of the people that held out was Diamond Vermeil's father. He held out for more money for his property. Eventually, he had to leave because they were coming closer. And then Mr. Blake, that was principal at West Charlotte High School, held out, and he eventually had to leave and relocated in Northwood.
I was looking through some of the documents for the Planning Commission, from Charlotte-Mecklenburg Planning Commission from 1960, and they said one of the most important goals of urban renewal was making good housing available in good neighborhoods. Was that...
I'm not too sure of that. I don't think... it might have been a goal, but I don't know if it happened. And I don't know how much they provided funds, homes for the people, other than that was already available.
It was already available. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there wasn't a lot of new construction going
no.
on for...
No, the only new construction that I could think of is perhaps University Park where they Spangla, and then there were some other neighborhoods developed.
And you mentioned there was some influx into your own neighborhood in the first ward, right?
If homes were available, people moved in, but I can't remember any new construction.
Oh, okay.
Unless whites too lived in first ward. Maybe some of them moved out and the blacks moved in. But there was Piedmont Courts, but I don't think it was particularly developed for Brooklyn. And there was Double Oaks, but I think it was perhaps already there. So people perhaps moved into those places if they were available, with Fairview Homes, South Side, and so forth.
Did you know anyone from Brooklyn who moved to your neighborhood? Did you talk with people who moved from Brooklyn to First Ward?
No. Well, I was kind of in a unusual situation. Where I lived, there were two streets, and one was Morrow Street, and the other would be B Street, and we had not more than 8 or 9 homes in that little neighborhood. So we lived between Elizabeth Avenue and Trade Street.
Oh, okay.
Bound by 4th Street. And Sugar Creek was a natural boundary, which was near Central Piedmont College now, which is a block away, less than a block. So it was a small nook of Charlotte, and we didn't have anyone moving from those areas until...
Oh, okay.
And that was after, the redevelopment came after, really, after I was away. I had gone off to school and then came back in the 60s. That's really when it really started.
Right.
So I really don't know.
During the 60s, so the... Mm-hmm. There wasn't the YWCA a part of that process, or did it have that?
The YWCA...
Not part of the process, but like...
Well, the YWCA did leave. Perhaps it was a part of the progress. I mean, that process, because First Baptist Church mm-hmm. bought the YWCA property, and I think we had so many churches in Brooklyn. Someone told me there were about 26 churches in Brooklyn, a lot of churches, and I was told that the city had said that they did not want churches in the Brooklyn area, you know. But First Baptist bought that property, and it is now there. So it's a living witness.
Yeah.
And most of the churches that are there, if you can look, you know, they're gone. I think there was one right there on Brevard Street that stayed. I think it just closed its doors this year. But all of the other churches left because it was redeveloped. And the only church I can think of that is there is the First Baptist Church.
Right. I'm sorry. Actually, I know this is kind of backwards, but I know I talked about asked questions about the process of relocation, but I guess now I would like to ask some questions about the impetus for relocation, which was urban renewal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how you first heard about the plans for urban renewal?
Yes, I was at the YWCA. I was working there at the YWCA, and that's when they talked about the redevelopment. And I must have been living here, I think. It's been too long ago. But I was living here, I believe, at that time. And that's when they, or maybe I was living in Morganton, really, when they really started. I hadn't moved back to Charlotte, but I moved back in the middle of it, or at the beginning of it. of the redevelopment, you know, moving out. Because we didn't have any intention of leaving the Davison Street for the YWCA, but that was connected with the YWCA becoming one rather than as being separate, and I guess they sold the property thing.
I guess what are your viewpoints on it? Like, do you see it as a way for integration, or was it a
I saw it as a way for what, the Y, or what, for the city?
I guess for the urban development. Yeah, urban renewal.
Well, in order for progress, something must change. And I think that was the first step in making big changes for Charlotte to become a city. So they chose Brooklyn as the site to be moved. Of course, Brooklyn was kind of, as I said, was kind of the center for black communities, which somewhat destroyed this nucleus for the black people. And, of course, we didn't feel too good about it. But in order for progress, something must change. And that was one of the changes.
What were your last, when did you last see Brooklyn by chance? Like, what was that? Do you remember? Like, was it Second Ward or the Y?
The YWCA. And then I went into the school system, so it was still going on. But my greatest impact was working at the YWCA. You know, some of the people that were working with redevelopment would come to the YWCA to have meetings. They had a lot of meetings there at the YWCA, the city, of redevelopment people.
And it says, like, from some of our research, it seems like the city councilors used the claim that Brooklyn was a slum in order to... Do you think that was a viable...
Viable reason?
Yeah, viable reason to move in.
It was, well, back then, there were not too many great places for black people. So I guess they could call the country, the United States, as creating or having a lot of slum areas for black people to live. There wasn't anything else, you know.
But maybe, from your viewpoint, it wasn't...
It wasn't all slums. We had some areas that were undesirable, but we had some good areas, and we had some good things going in there, going on in the community.
Like the businesses on Second Street, the YWCA, and the churches.
And churches and so forth. It wasn't the best, but that's what we had. And that was a practice over the United States. So still is somewhat a practice, right? Still is somewhat a practice.
But how do you think this the urban renewal may have affected like a larger African American community viewpoint towards like the local government? State government, national government, was there?
Well, I don't know, but I understand that there were promises of greater things for the people that were to move from the neighborhood. And I haven't seen that. I didn't see. I really don't know the promises, but I understand that they promised them better living conditions and living situations, but I didn't see any of it, not coming from the city.
And I guess starting to, conclusions, starting to wrap. What lessons do you think like current and future generations can learn from the experiences of Brooklyn? Is there?
Well, I think that, from I think the unity that the black people had, I think we had a lot of unity there, and we were able to live together. I mean, there were some problems, but we did see blacks doing different things, being lawyers and doctors and all of that. You could see it more so than you could see it right now because they were all so close together. And if the blacks wanted to participate in the recreational activity facilities, they had to come there, so they kind of knew everybody because they came from different sides of the community to be together. So there were a lot of unity that we may not have now.
So you're saying the central location of Brooklyn itself
the central
acted
as kind of a nucleus for what went on in the black communities.
Do you think, is there anything else that you would like to add about, any topics or information that we may not have discussed so far? Any experiences that you had that are particularly memorable that you would like to?
No, nothing other than I just really enjoyed participating in the activities and the involvement in Brooklyn. As I say, I came from a place where we didn't have anything. So I just thought it was a great place to be. However, I said there were good points of Brooklyn and there were some that were not so desirable. And a couple of them I could think of going to the movies. Some of them were, you didn't get to hear anything in the movie or see because the kids were acting out. And I guess they do that same thing now, certain movies you go to.
Are you talking about the Lincoln and the Savoy?
Lincoln and the Savoy, yeah. But you did see, we could see black people doing things. So we could see the role model part of it. So it was a lot of, we got to see that there were better things. And after they relocated from Brooklyn, I think many of the blacks did start buying homes and perhaps doing a little better, like I would think, in general. I don't know if that's what you were getting at, but...
No, that's... Thank you. I guess I just want to say thank you very much, Ms. Bowser. I do appreciate your time and your help in this project.
Well, you're quite welcome, and I hope you can get some information that I gave you that you didn't get from others. I guess it's kind of redundant. Most people are saying mostly the same thing.
No. And there's something to say about that, too. If a lot of people remember a lot of the same things.
So you know you're getting the truth.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.